morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact myself, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 396-0577 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good. You know, Tom, you and I are kind of in the same boat. Both of our
Both of your teams are out. So I see, McKay, that you're on to baseball already.
You got a Kennewick Nationals hat on?
Well, I don't have a Kamiakin hat yet. So.
I love the Kennewick Nationals hat, and we're right on to baseball. That is great.
You know, exactly. It was close. There was a little bit of hope. They were rallying back. The Hawks were last week, and they just didn't have enough time, you know?
It just reinforced my belief that the Panthers are the best team in football. But if they were to meet up with the Patriots, I don't know.
Hey, you know what? I'm a Cards fan all the way through the end of this now. That's the hope.
I look at it this way. If Green Bay had to get beat, at least it was a classy guy like Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, that
guy.
There you go, for sure. And I tell you what, the weather's been okay. Mm-hmm. We had a couple windy days and stuff.
It was
really good. I was fortunate enough to spend 3 days earlier in the week. We were at a national sales conference down in Las Vegas, International Builders Show. Got some real estate training and saw some awesome stuff.
I bet that show was awesome to be at.
Yeah, and you can't even see it all. I mean, you know, there are convention centers down there with, you know, millions of square feet, whatever it is. It was really, really fantastic, and it's always good to get some training. We also like to, we network with some of the top agents and teams around the country, and it gives us a chance to promote Tri-Cities. We make sure that we get together with those folks, exchange cards. It's also nice that when we have clients in Tri-Cities here, leaving Tri-Cities and moving, I pretty much have a top-notch agent that I've made a connection with in almost every one of the larger metropolitan areas. And so that's nice because, you know, I have some accountability with the people that we're sending our referrals to. I've spent some time with them, and it just allows me to also not only help you in Tri-Cities, but help you with referrals outside of Tri-Cities. And so we really, really like having that portion of the business. And it's just great to get some ideas from agents that are doing some really cool stuff in other markets. And we can bring that back to the Tri-Cities and keep cranking away on things. Before we jump into our subject, we always like to start off with our crazy celebrity real estate story. And until last week, there was a home that we featured about a year ago that was for sale in South Florida, and it currently had been the largest asking price for the most expensive single-family home in the United States. That was $159 million. But that that designation has been replaced. There was a new home to hit the market for $200 million, and that was the Playboy Mansion went up for sale. What's interesting about this is I read through the article and stuff.
With or without bunnies?
and that is a great question, McKay.
I mean, not that I'm interested, because like I said, I've seen better, I'm married better. most guys would want to know.
Smart man. So not probably who you thought was going to stay, but who is going to, is actually it's advertised that the home is being sold as a life estate for Hugh Hefner. So what that means is when you sell a property, title transfers to the new owner, but the existing person granted the life estate, in this case, Hugh Hefner, gets to stay in the property until they die. And so there's different arrangements and ways that can be set up. Generally, the person with the life estate still is responsible for maintenance and taxes, but the home is kind of pre-sold, a way to get their money ahead of time up front. And so, and you got to look at that price tag and say, okay, this is kind of an iconic property that somebody's going to be coming in and looking at. Crazy that when you go through the numbers, it's almost 20,000 square feet and it's on 5 acres, which is prime. It was actually purchased in 1971 for $1 million.
Wow.
And so a little bit of
an increase.
Did you
say $200 million now?
$200, yeah. From $1 million to an asking price of $200 million. And it's crazy because it sits on 5 acres. And when they look at 5 acres in that part of town, potentially development potential, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the final number comes in at and then who ends up purchasing a property like that. So
I feel bad for his son, though. You know, he's probably thinking, geez, you know, dad had a great life.
I was going to inherit the mansion.
I'm going to follow in his footsteps.
And he's thinking, nope, I'm going to get the cash now. Yeah. Why that market's a little bit hotter and maybe spend it or do something else with it. So it's always interesting. And you don't see life estates too often. I've only seen it twice. I've been involved with that in the Tri-Cities over the last 15 years. But they do occasionally come up there. And sometimes developers will do this sometimes when they're buying, say, a farm property. And the original farmer's retired, lives in one corner of the property, but wants to enjoy his retirement, will sell off the rest of the land. A lot of times they will grant and let them have a life estate to remain in their family home. Mm-hmm. And then that allows them to also develop a portion of the land while they're at it. So sometimes it really works out to be the best of both worlds. So it's, but it is a very specific situation when you use something like that.
Yeah, it makes me wonder. I wonder if Hugh has got some health issues or something and he wants to just get it sold and be in control of who it goes to.
The other thing, too, is I'm not too sure about, you know, there's been other news stories about the viability of that company and their assets and continuing on. So there might be some payments coming up. So there you go. The new most expensive single family residence in the United States right now. Well, Tom and I were talking, and we did a couple shows a few weeks back about lower inventory, high sales numbers. And one of the things that happens in a lower inventory market is a lot of folks, and especially in the last 6 months, we have done more new construction contracts than we ever have before in a six-month period like that. So, and that is because when you look and you have 30 to 40% less inventory than you had this same time period last year. If you can't find the option with that lower inventory, then sometimes the only option is to go new construction. And one of the things is we have a great team. I have agents on our buyer side that specialize in helping clients with new construction. They've worked with numerous other builders, so they know how to help broker and get you the best possible deal because they've been in hundreds and hundreds of new builds, so they can help you through that process, make sure you're protected, regardless of who the builder is, and help get you a great, great product. So one of the first things we do when we're talking to clients about new construction, and they come in and we sit down with them, and the very first thing we look at is time. And time can be a factor for a number of reasons. One is, what is your plan for housing in the meantime? You know, are we up against a deadline with an apartment lease? Do you have a 6 month lease that only has 2 months left on it, and we're going to do, say, a 4 month build?
How much time are you going to have to spend with your in-laws while the house is getting built?
Right? That's a great question, Tom. And we do. You don't know how many times I've had that conversation with buyers. And it's usually the wife looks at the husband, and the husband looks at the wife. And depending upon which set of in-laws it is, I usually get a response of not soon enough for them to get back to their own space. So that's exactly one of the factors. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, as we said. What type of costs are involved? And sometimes, you know, people don't want to break their lease too soon because they have a break lease fee. Or sometimes when they, you know, convert to a month-to-month from a longer-term contract, it comes into play. So we just like to point out to folks to have those costs budgeted up front. And that interim housing is kind of one of the big, big issues that we look at. The other thing that comes into play when we're doing the same type of evaluation is if you have multiple moves, what type of storage is involved? And that can be a tricky situation. Sometimes, people, it's hard to hit an exact date because builders are, they've got pretty good schedules and pretty good situations. But say, you know, they lay out for you a 4-month schedule, and so you've got a 16-week build, and we're getting ready to go into foundation, and then one of those famous cold snaps hits this time of year where it's, you know, 10 degrees for 2 weeks. Well, man, that's significant when you take 2 weeks out of a 16-week build. They couldn't get the foundation in when they wanted to.
You can't pour concrete when it's that cold.
It's not a good situation, and they usually do not want to. So some of those factors come into play when we're looking at that side of things and figuring out exactly where we need to be. Also, the storage for your move. Do you have storage units? Is there enough storage? And have you sold your existing house? If we're not talking about somebody that's in an apartment or relocating, we're talking about somebody that is selling one house and moving to a new one. Of course, the ideal situation that we always start with clients is, you know, a lot of times people say, well, I just want to move from the house I'm in to my new house. Well, that can create some issues. Tom, I'm sure, is going to talk a little bit about financing with this process. But that is what I call a luxury situation. If everybody had that situation, sure, your new house is just about done. You don't need the money from your last house, which the majority of people do, and you're ready to move into your new house, then it's hard sometimes because do we know exactly when that house is going to sell? We're going to put it on the market. You get moved to your new house, and then you're carrying multiple mortgages for a couple months.
Well, logistically, just the idea of, okay, I'm going to start building this house. It's going to take 4 months, and then 2 months will go by, and then my house goes under contract at just the right amount of time, and then we set it in our contract for 60 days, and it magically all comes together at the end. It doesn't happen very often like that.
Well, and there's just so many moving parts to make that happen. The other thing in this market that we've had happen is you look at some properties, average days on the market is 33 days. You price a home, and then with our lower inventory, sometimes you get that amazing first offer that you want, you know, at full price or near full price, and they have a 28-day closing date on it. And so you're sitting there saying, oh, geez, I didn't think it was going to sell in 28 days. I thought it would take 20 to sell and then 45 to close. But for that buyer, they might need it at that specific time frame. And so then you're looking at interim housing for a month or 2 months. Lot of moving parts. So these are the types of scenarios that we go through with our buyers and sellers. One of the things that we have as our job versus, say, a new build rep that's just working on the new builds is we're looking at that entire picture for our clients. You know, what are some of these solutions? What are some of these ways to move and help with the moving so that we can accomplish all of those goals? So it's funny because we get through points one or two that we think are so very, very important, and we haven't even talked about building the new house yet. So then, of course, the second thing that we come to that we look at is, what is the site for your new build? You know, what is the best subdivision for us to go into? And then we're coordinating that with your budget. So we look, and somebody will come to us and say, hey, I've talked to Tom, or I have an idea. I'm thinking about a $275,000 budget build total with the house and the lot. Where can I look? And so there's a couple different situations. You might like one subdivision, but that subdivision might be sold specifically to three builders. So you might then have to look at the pricing of those three different builders. And for that budget, can you get into that subdivision? The second choice then might be, okay, I can pick up an individual lot and then pick my own builder. But that is a process also because different lots have different requirements. Some subdivisions only sell to builders. Other subdivisions that you're at, if you're looking at a private lot, it might not be set up the way you want with utilities. So you're looking at, where can I buy individual land, but then what is the increased cost of getting utilities and power out to the site? So site choice, along with your budget, becomes the next largest factor that we're looking at.
You know, another thing I could see that would be a challenge is, let's say someone does have a builder, they have a floor plan, they know the house they're going to build, and now you got to find a lot that that house fits on.
Absolutely. And the sizing of it becomes super important. And there's different things that can happen, too, with permitting issues, requirements that that specific city would have. Mm-hmm. What works in West Richland might not necessarily work in Richland or Kennewick. So there could be some increased permitting costs there that we're looking at. And so this is a process, and it can take a little while. I always suggest people to start looking at this situation, you know, 5-6 months ahead of time, mm-hmm. because that can really be a process that you go through to narrow down those specifics. The other thing that we look at is, how large is the lot and does it have irrigation water? Are you wanting a half acre lot? But there's half acre lots out there and acre lots that don't have irrigation water. So then how much of that land can you actually utilize for your yard versus build sites? Can you have, and one of the big things we run into, can you have accessory buildings like casitas or shops on the property? What are the rules for those accessory buildings, and how do those fit into our lot choice? So coming right down to it, here in that first meeting, we've looked at a lot of stuff that hasn't even got into the actual construction of the house. And so that's really just prepping yourself for what you're going to need. The big, big factor here is, there is a difference between financing just a purchase on a home and then going through a new construction loan process. So I'm super excited to have Tom Coyne here with us today. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk about that new construction process with lending and then go into a few other key points that you need to be thinking about as you're picking your builder and you're deciding where to build your next dream home.
We'll be right back here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. Today we've been talking about factors to consider in 2016 for really what is likely to be a huge new construction year. A lot of lower inventory out there, not as much resale, a lot of people factoring in building and looking to build their new house. But there comes to be some complications in that process, and so we've been looking at some solutions to those complications, living arrangements, site prep, what you want to look for in a lot. And McKay, actually, I want to say it before we go into talking to Tom, he brought up a great point off the air, and that was the old adage in real estate. We talked about lots and site prep, but location, location, location. And really taking a look around your lot when you find it, and there's some risk factors. And so you want to look around and see, what do the neighboring properties look like? Are the CCNRs controlled here? Can the neighbor paint his house Seahawks blue and green, like the house we saw in the news in Othello? And are you okay being next to that?
Can they build an apartment complex right behind me?
Absolutely. So thank you, McKay, for reminding me. The location, 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 and taking a good look around you is super important. Also, a major important factor is getting the money right to make these builds. So, Tom, thanks for the suggestion for this show topic today. And, yeah, walk me through, because it's different on the new construction process. Walk me through how things go with you on that.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. With the way the inventory's been, I just keep thinking the one way to solve our problem that we have of low inventory is to build more houses. And I feel like we're really seeing a lot of it. We're getting a ton of calls on new construction. And Umpqua has really made a big push in the fourth quarter of the year in revamping our construction loan to make it what I think is the most attractive program in town. So I love talking about it. And I'm excited to see how many we end up closing this year. But custom construction loans are different than if you're having the builder finance it. On a builder finance build, just like it says, the builder's going to finance the house, and when it's all completed, you're going to get a traditional loan to purchase that home when it's completed. Some builders, however, are going to require that you get a construction loan, and these are going to be more of your custom builders that require the construction financing. In the past, construction loans have been hard. They required more of a down payment. Costs have been really high. I want to say we're breaking all those barriers and rolling out what I think is, again, a great, great product. We offer a one-time close construction loan. So at closing, your rate's locked. There's no need to modify. There's no need to refi. We pay off the land, and then we allocate all the money for the build. It all happens all at one swoop right at the beginning before the builder ever starts building the house. One thing that's really nice is our fee structure on these. We have a flat fee of $1,495 on regardless of loan amount too, which is nice. There's not a 1% origination fee, nothing like that. Total closing costs, I'm talking title, escrow, appraisal, our fee, date downs, the whole deal, it usually lands around $4,300 on these construction loans.
Tom, and that is low. I mean, I've seen, I sit at those closings, review those HUD statements and stuff, and I've seen some of those, and that is a low amount.
Yeah, it's incredible. It really is, and I think that's why we're really gaining a lot of market share and in a hurry with this program is because of how low that fee structure is. Umpqua loves doing these construction loans. They have an appetite for it, and it shows with how competitive they price out the costs. Now, Lance, one of the greatest things, aside from how low the fees are, is we only require 5% down on these construction loans. And you guys probably remember when I first came on the show with Lance, we were Sterling. It was 30% down.
Yeah, it was. I mean, and a lot of times in the past, that was a big factor for a client's choice of doing new construction or purchasing resale because sometimes they didn't have the 30% to do that. Mm-hmm. And so they ended up purchasing really the same style house, just 1 or 2 years old because of that.
Yeah, with this, it really opens the doors for a lot of clients. And it really helps a lot of builders out there, too, who can now really attract a wider range of clients because the clients can now get their houses with just 5%. Now, that 5% down is based off of the acquisition cost of the build. And what goes into the acquisition cost is the cost of the land, the cost of the build, and what we call contingency funds. Now, contingency funds is something that we require, and it's 5% of the hard cost of the build. So I always explain hard costs like things you can touch, the lumber, the electrical, the plumbing. But it's kind of like what-if money. Like if you're maybe didn't allocate for a fence in your budget, but you're halfway through construction and you say, you know what, we want a fence. Well, there's money set aside for that. What's nice about this 5% in funds is it's there if you need it, but if you don't use it, it's never added to your loan. So it's a requirement, but it's a really nice luxury for people to have because there's always going to be stuff that changes.
Tom, can I tell you, can I interject here with a little story about contingency funds?
Let's hear it.
So I was building our house a couple of years ago with my wife, and they said, you know what, you need to go and pick out your granite, you know. And so you get to the granite store, right, and you look around there, and we're walking through, and then there was like a hole in the ceiling and this light shining down and angels flying around this one granite. And my wife is like, looks at me, and she's like, that's the granite that's going in our house. And I'm like, okay, so let's talk about, you know.
Then was there music going on,
yes,
in the background?
And then you ask the salesperson, is this in our class of our budget of our granite? And
no,
you see this glazed look in his eye, and he's like, no, it is not. So situations like that happen, mm-hmm, where you're just like, and I remember we're like, you know, Karen's was like, well, maybe you can install the sprinklers, honey, and and we can get the granite right we want. And so anyway, I remember that. And so there are contingencies like that where you'll make a decision later whether it be granite or, you know, maybe you add a half bath where you weren't going to before.
Do some extra landscaping, whatever you want.
And so I be from a first perspective point of view, having that contingency source in there, I appreciate you guys doing that because it happened to me and I see it happen to a lot of our clients.
Yeah, it's very important. So your down payment is based off of that total dollar amounts of your entire acquisition costs. Now, if you're, let's say, wanting to build on some land that you already own and maybe you put $20,000 down on that lot when you bought it, and you bought it whether it was a year ago or, you know, a month ago, whatever equity you have in that lot can count towards your down payment. So we do a lot of these with zero down because the client's already built their equity in the land. Now, during the build, you're going to pay interest only on the amount drawn up to that point. This makes it really nice, like we were talking before the break, Lance, where some people will start building before they sold their other house. And let's say the build is going to be a $400,000 build, and we allocate $400,000 bill. We set it aside. It's for these clients. But the money's not used right away. It's used throughout the maybe 4-month build process. The client doesn't have to pay interest on that amount or make payments for that amount until the money's actually used. So it makes it a lot more affordable for people when they're building is that they don't have payments right off the bat. They're paying interest only in the amount drawn up to that point. Now, let's say on month one, generally what we're always doing is paying off the land loan, if there's a land loan, or purchasing the lot. So right off the bat, that next month, that's what your interest-only payment is going to be based off, because we combine the lot with our construction loan. And then the payment will slowly increase as the builder request draws. Every time they request a draw, we're going to send an inspector out there to make sure that work's done. Let's say he tells us the foundation and framing's done. Before we issue him money for that, we want to make sure it's really done. So we send our inspector out there. 3 days later, the builder gets his money. And this goes on and on until the builder draws all the funds. Generally, on a six-month build, you're going to have around four draws. Another thing that we do for our clients is what's called title date downs. Really, really important. All this is we refresh the title report throughout the build. Let's say on month three, we do a title date down, and there's a lien from the guy who did the foundation, but we've already issued the money for the foundation. Well, we know that the builder didn't pay the foundation guy because there's a lien on our client's property now. We will stop all draws until he takes care of that lien.
That is a great safeguard, because I've heard some stories, even in Tri-Cities, mm-hmm. Over the last couple of years of situations like that happening, and that is in not finding out until it was too late. So I really like those safeguards in that process that you guys have built into it.
Yeah, and it's something you don't even have to request it. You're going to get this. We're going to require it. And at the end, they sign the builder signs an unconditional lien release saying that all subs are paid. There will be no liens against this property, and that protects the client. Because as soon as we close the construction loan, even though the builder is the one building the lots in your name, so if liens popped up, they're going against you. So key highlights on our program: we can close them quick. We just try to make them easy for the builder and the client. Closing costs always around $4,300, and again, just 5% down. I'd love to talk to you about your construction loan. Feel free to call at the office, 783-7300, if you want to talk about your project.
And Tom, thanks again, too, for your help with our clients. We closed quite a few of those with you in the last couple months.
Absolutely.
And our clients have been extremely happy with that process, and I really appreciate you taking good care of them. Tom kind of touched on some of these points about the new construction, but just to kind of give us a quick little overview on some of that, is that another option, there's different levels, and Tom mentioned it, where maybe you're doing a higher-end custom, or maybe you're doing what's called a semi-custom, where you have a couple plans to choose from, and then you get to pick your interior colors and your upgrades. And so it's not like a full design custom, but they kind of call it a category semi-custom. And a lot of times the builder has built that home before. That build can happen a little bit faster. And depending upon their level that they're at, they might be able to make that process just a little bit smoother because they've built this house three or four times before. And so you can maybe cut that time frame down a little bit versus a custom that might take 9 months. You might be able to do a semi-custom in that 4 to 6 month range. Now, Tom, one thing that you mentioned that I just wanted to ask you about real quick is that rate lock, because we projected a few weeks ago on the show, industry experts were projecting interest rates to go up. Say somebody's making that decision in the next month or two, are we able to lock those rates we're looking at now? How does that work, and how long do we get that rate lock?
Well, when we lock your construction loan, we need to have the project ready to go, because we'll generally do a 45-day rate lock on those construction loans. Now, we can do them up to 90 is how long you can lock the construction loan. But that gives us enough time to close the construction loan. And then that rate that we lock before construction ever starts, while we're processing, is the same rate you get through the build and after the build.
Oh, that's fantastic. Because, like I said, if those rates are going to go up, people make those construction decisions in the first quarter or the first two quarters of this year, they are going to realize those what could be lower rates.
Yeah, and absolutely. And we run into clients that say have a VA certificate and they want a VA loan. Well, your VA loan is going to be a better rate than the construction loan. So what we do in that case is we modify you into a VA loan as soon as the build's done. Now, in that situation, we can lock that future VA loan in up to 9 months before the house is ever completed. So we close the construction loan, we can turn around and immediately lock in the VA loan.
Oh, I didn't even know that. That's fantastic. I love learning that stuff on the show. The last point here that I wanted to get to, just a reminder to people, is your landscaping budget. And I've seen this too many times through the builds where you go through and you make those choices about, oh, I wanted that granite, or I wanted that rain shower head in the shower. And then next thing you know, you're to the end of the build, and the landscaping budget is gone because you've used it on all
those upgrades.
You have
no backyard.
So then you're paying extra for your sod,
you're paying extra for that, or you're having to decide to do it yourself. And so it's just a factor to consider. I put a little asterisk by it because I see that happen. It seems like it's kind of that last item. And so sometimes that's a struggle. So I was glad to hear Tom had that contingency factor in there, might save you and also be able to get your landscaping without sacrificing that. So we've worked with numerous builders throughout the year, and there's some amazing great builders in Tri-Cities. We sold a lot of homes this year with Hayden Homes and New Tradition Homes and Lapeer Homes and Prodigy. And so there's all of these great builders out there, and we really become an advisor and an advocate for the client when they're going into these new builds with those builders. So if you have any questions about that process, you want to do some shopping on that and shop around, please go to our website at kenmoreteam.com. Shoot us over a message and we'll get you in touch with myself, my new construction experts, and Tom on the loan side, so we can help get you into one of these new construction builds this year. And anything else you need, Tom, on the financing side, how do they get a hold of you?
Best number to reach me, it's at the office, 783-7300, or on my website, tomcoinhomeloans.com.
And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.